Before we begin, we have a couple of guests here. Dave Mosier, who is the husband of the committee assistant, and with him is Leighton DeShield, who is president of the American Association of Retired Persons, and we welcome you to the committee. Thank you for coming. Since we do have a quorum, we'll start this committee meeting. Okay, the first bill up is House Concurrent Resolution for a bill that I sponsored. We heard this bill last Tuesday. There was another bill very similar to it. There was a difference in the other bill that we want to amend into this bill, and it's the Family Pride Week, and the amendment was to change the first week of July on line 8 to week in which Thanksgiving occurs. I have no problems with accepting the amendment to this bill.
Mr. Speaker?
I've been doing it with Bradrail. Representative Campbell.
Is there a way that we can add a sponsor to this bill that you have?
Yes. What I will do is stand on the floor and ask that the rules be suspended and ask the concurrence of the body to add all the names that went on her bill and anybody else that wants to go on it, and then that's a promise of everybody. We can't do it with the senators. They have to do that on their side, but that would amend the bill, I assume. But I don't care. I'm just after this piece of legislation.
Okay, I just want you to know that under that set of circumstances, I would be totally supportive of the bill, but I do think it's important that members who work very hard on this concept who have another bill which is very similar should have the opportunity.
Representative Van Loon and I discussed it, and I'd be very proud to have every member in this legislature on it and any group that wants on it. I think it's a very important declaration. Okay. Do I hear a motion on the...
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Shipwreck.
I move that the committee accept the amendments proposed by Representative Van Loon.
You are referring to...
Page 1 of the printed bill, line 8, after D, delete the first week of July and insert week in which Thanksgiving occurs.
Representative Shipwreck moves the amendments in which it amends the bill to substitute the first week in July with week in which Thanksgiving occurs. Is there any further discussion? If there's no further discussion, will the committee assistant call roll, please?
Campbell.
Aye.
Otto.
Aye.
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 Robert.
Aye. Okay, HCR 4 is amended.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Campbell.
Move HCR 4 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Campbell. Representative Campbell moves HCR 4 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Any further discussion? No further discussion. Will the assistant call roll?
Aye.
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 Gallon.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye. I will okay. HCR 4 has been passed to the floor with a due pass. I will carry the bill. It's all right with everyone. I'm sure that Representative Van Loon will also stand and say something about the bill on the floor. Thank you, Representative. The next bill up. Wait a minute. You want to hold up HCR 2, right? All right. Okay. Take it out of order. The next bill up is House Bill 2093. Okay. Where's the sign-up sheet?
We received proposed amendments at our last meeting from the public accountants as well as from the Tax Service Examiners Board, and we have those hand-engrossed.
Okay.
Legitimacy.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, they haven't. That's what worries me.
Yeah, well, they're nursing real concerns. One of them is in estate planning. Tax planning and estate planning could be defined in a similar manner.
Okay.
And so,
I'm not talking about what that's going to say.
Okay.
Answer some of the concerns of one of the members of the committee. We will not have a work session on this bill today. I think it's a very complicated thing when we come in with the amendments, the number of amendments, and the complications of those amendments. And I want to take as much testimony as possible. And I understand there are other folks that aren't here today who want to come in and speak on this bill. Now,
who's making these amendments?
Okay, the tax service, the examiner's board, who's here on their behalf? Would you like to come up, please, and state your name for the record and go through your amendments, please?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Eleanor Blundell, and I'm the administrator for the State Board of Tax Examiners. I am appearing today in response to the testimony presented last Tuesday by the representatives of the Oregon Association of Public Accountants and the proposed amendments to House Bill 2093 submitted by Mr. Raymond Cass for your consideration. The members of the State Board of Tax Service Examiners have briefly discussed the suggested amendments and go on record as being in opposition. There may or may not be a need to test on corporation tax laws. That is not the issue the tax board is addressing. The issue is the amendments as presented to you on page 2 of the bill, lines 7, 11, 23, and 25. It is suggested that where the word personal appears, it be changed to individual. When the present tax service examiner's law was drafted by legislative council, the term personal was used because Oregon Revised Statutes, Chapter 316, is titled Personal Income Tax and covers taxable income of individuals under ORS 316-048, estates and trusts, which includes fiduciary returns, under ORS 316-267, and income from partnerships under 316.342. Under definitions, ORS 316-002 refers to the personal Income Tax Act of 1969, and ORS 316-007 states the legislative policy to follow federal law with modifications. On page 2, lines 23, 24, and 26, it has been suggested that the words partnership, corporation C, corporation S, and fiduciary be added, and added after the word individual, and gift and inheritance law after the word practice on lines 24 and lines 26. If this language were adopted with no other legal provisions, a number of questions have been raised. Before I list these questions, however, it should be noted that not all licensed tax consultants are now preparing corporate tax returns, or do they want to prepare them? It would appear that they either specialize in corporate returns or they don't prepare them at all. Very few licensed tax consultants become involved with gift and inheritance taxes. Usually the client would be referred to a tax attorney. With this in mind, the following issues should be considered. Number one, we now license approximately 1,600 tax consultants. The majority have passed a comprehensive examination covering state and federal personal income tax laws. Would we now tell the public that all of those present licensees have a level of knowledge in the area of corporation, taxation, and gift and inheritance laws? Would the present tax consultants be required to pass an examination covering these subjects? Number two, we have been told that the intent is not to include tax preparers in this provision. Would this mean that tax preparers could not work on corporation tax returns? This is not clear. Number three covers the preparation and administration of the state examinations. Since Oregon is the only state that licenses tax practitioners, the largest responsibility and most time-consuming for the board members is the preparation of three different tax preparer and three different tax consultant examinations annually. The board members approve each exam question and they write the exam problems. They spend approximately 15 days each year in group sessions plus many additional hours writing the problems. In addition, one staff member spends approximately one quarter of his time working on the examinations. Of the present five board members, three do not prepare any corporate tax returns. Who then is to prepare the new examination? The present consultant examination is 5 hours. Will we administer a two-day examination? Under the proposed amendment, it is not suggested that the exam fee be increased. Will the agency receive funding to cover the additional costs involved? And the fourth would be under education. Present requirements are 20 hours of continuing education annually. The statutes require that the education cover personal income tax subjects. And because of the continual changes in tax laws, strict board policy has resulted in the agency carefully screening each program for content before giving approval. The board believes that 20 hours per year is a minimum to enable the practitioner to stay abreast of personal tax laws. Under the proposed amendment, the licensees would not be required to complete continuing education covering corporation tax laws, and yet the consultant would be licensed to offer these services. In conclusion, when the bill creating the Tax Service Examiners Law was passed by the legislature in 1973, the intent was to protect the individual citizens against fly-by-night and incompetent preparers of personal tax returns. The Tax Board respectfully requests that the amendments to House Bill 2093 presented by the OAPA be rejected. The Board also requests that where tax planning appears in the bill, it be deleted. The reasons for this request are those explained on Tuesday by the Board Vice Chairman Ivan Hoyer. Tax planning is a nebulous term and not defined. The Board further suggests that if it is now determined there is a need to increase government regulation in the area of corporation tax returns, that an in-depth study be made and a proposal drawn up for the best way to accomplish the decided goals. There are many considerations that should be examined. A number of people will be affected, and it should not be a hasty decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
I'd like to add that the amendments that Ms. Blundell was just speaking of also have some technical problems. I have a memo here from Legislative Council regarding those technical problems.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative,
as you require in the last hearing, I asked these very questions and I got a much different answer as to what the effects would be than we've got today. And I appreciate very much your bringing the testimony today, because my investigation since that hearing indicates that what you told us today is right on target. And it gives me some great concern that this kind of amendment is presented to us, and the indication to us who are basically neophytes in this field is that it makes absolutely no change. And that bothers me a little, Mr. Chairman.
I agree. Are there any further questions? I'd like to make a statement, Ed. I don't understand, and maybe it's a small thing, but the termination of individual rather than personal. If we change this bill to because of that, there are a number of ORSs that are going to be out of whack with it, and we're going to have to go right back into some more. You're going to have an ongoing thing. I'm just siding with you on that issue anyway. Mm-hmm. If there are no other questions of this lady, and then I'll call the next witness. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, Jerry Huntley. If you identify yourself, Mr. Huntley, when you sit down, please.
I am Jerry Huntley. I do the field investigating for the Board of Tax Service Examiners, among other things. And I'm appearing before you today in response to an interest of Representatives Otto and Gilmore at the last hearing regarding the bonding of licensed consultants as a protection in financial relief for citizen complaints. The general nature of citizens' complaints that we receive fall into the categories before you there, which would include area of competency, negligence, the return of records, fees, unable to locate a practitioner, mostly those are unlicensed people, and a group of miscellaneous. Complaints in the area of competency are probably the most difficult to determine, whether it is competency or not, or lack of it. They would involve errors of theory, and we view them as we have to have some very substantial data in order to determine the actual incompetency, or may it fall into the field of negligence. Negligence covers areas where it is not errors of theory, but maybe something that is rather routine, very human type of error, may even be a mathematical error of failing to carry a figure over into the proper line category, etc. Something that is just negligent by the practitioner. Return of records is another area we receive quite a few complaints. Generally, it's the complaint is initiated because of a fee. The citizen will go into a practitioner to pick up their tax return. The fee surprised them that it's higher than they anticipated, and we have an argument. And in some cases, the practitioner may refuse to give their records back to them unless they pay the fee. And, of course, the citizen cannot file any kind of tax return without his original records. And we take care of that quite readily. We do not receive nearly as many complaints of this nature as we did a few years ago. The board became very punitive for this kind of violation, assessed some quite heavy penalties on practitioners, and it's pretty well taken care of this type of violation. Next item is fees. Generally, there's nothing we can do about a high fee unless it approaches on something that is just extraordinarily high, and we may view it in the area of dishonesty. And we have had a few of those and have taken some action against them. Next general area of complaint is unable to locate a practitioner. As I mentioned previously, it's usually an unlicensed person. It's, the individuals that we license cherish their occupation. and they are available to their clients at almost all times. And we have no difficulty in locating them generally. For the unlicensed person, it may be someone that has a taxpayer's records, and they need something from them, they need additional information, and they go back to them, they're unable to locate them, and they've lost their records. And we try to help them find the individual. And miscellaneous may include all kinds of different things. We even receive some complaints on personality conflicts. Some complaints are very flippant. Others have some valid issue. The point was raised by Representatives Otto and Gilmore at the last work session about whether bonding would give some relief to a citizen. In the area, I believe you were referring mainly to errors and omissions. If a tax practitioner makes an error on a return and subsequent penalties and interest follows by either Internal Revenue Service or Department of Revenue, will the practitioner pay? And we handle that in a variety of ways. Mostly the complaints involve a relatively small amount of money. Would view that not exceeding maybe $250 total. Occasionally it exceeds that. But in the event that a practitioner has made an error, it is obvious, and often he will admit it, but he will not pay. If the firm advertises the fact that he will cover any penalties or interest that may be assessed due to his errors, then we remind him that he can be penalized for misleading advertising and can attack him in that manner, get him to live up to his public agreements with his citizen taxpayer. Occasionally we have an instance where an error has been made on a return. It is, say, just purely negligence. And I can illustrate a method that we frequently use in bringing relief for the citizen. And that is that we had a taxpayer or a practitioner that did make an error on a tax return. Total penalties and interest was near $1,000, and he admitted his error. It was obvious, and he did not want to pay that penalty and interest to the citizen. And we reminded him of the powers of the board that they can penalize, assess a civil penalty for negligence, and suggested that he pay that penalty and interest that the taxpayer incurred, and he did. And we do that fairly often. Most of the larger offices in the state carry some type of malpractice insurance now. It's generally referred to as E&O insurance, errors and omissions. Generally, it's for larger claims. The insurances that I'm aware of are in the area of a $500 deductible. The first $500 is just deductible, and it's not covered by the insurance. So it is mainly for disaster-type claims. And the smaller losses we resolve through some of the methods I mentioned. I can negotiate the payment of these penalties and interest sometimes with the practitioners. And occasionally, I would say somewhere around 5 to 6 or 7 times a year, not able to reach any type of settlement, I will assist the citizen in filing a small claims court action. And generally, if the errors are as obvious as we can determine in the area of negligence, they don't have any difficulty in winning their case. So there is a system already established for to bring relief to the taxpayer if he has a problem with errors and omissions. Okay. That's all I have to report.
Are there any questions to this witness? Representative Otto.
Where do most of the errors occur? People going beyond their usual scope of practice or into the unknown?
Well, some would very definitely match that description. I would say there's a lot of them that errors are made, say, singular in that there's just one error on a return that has a significant effect on that tax return. And that error may be just through just a momentary lapse. The income tax laws are so complex, it's extremely difficult for any practitioner to stay up and utilize every tool to his advantage, to the client's advantage. And often something is overlooked. And I have discovered that that most of the errors, most of the complaints that deal with errors that I have, that's come to my attention, are in favor of the government. The government, it comes out on the plus side of most of the errors. And it's because there are so many advantages available to a taxpayer that it is extremely difficult for a practitioner to keep all of them in mind and when preparing that return. And so when the errors are made, the largest percentage of them is at the client's disadvantage. I mean, he's paying more than he should.
Another question.
Representative Otto.
In your opinion, do we need a bonding program?
No. It may be helpful in a half a dozen cases in a year, but I think we're talking about perhaps 1,000 offices in the state, and I can't imagine any type of bonding costing the office less than $100 per year, which is a pretty minimum bonding fee, I believe, and you're looking at $100,000 to statewide to take care of a few hundred dollar problem where the citizen already has a system available. Through our agency's negotiations, through perhaps E&O insurance that the practitioner may carry, or small claims court, or if it exceeds the amount for small claims, which is, I think, it's $750 maximum now, then they can go into circuit. So the systems are available there for relief to the taxpayer without bonding.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions? I have one. I want to... in Section 9 of this bill, on page 4, talks about civil penalties. Now, you're saying in this that in addition to any other fine, they can be fined again for any other... And that...
What
that
line
part bothers me.
Mr. Chairman, what line is there?
That's line 9. Again, any person who violates any provision that gives the IRS number or any rule adopted thereunder shall incur in addition to any other penalty provided by law, a civil penalty in an amount of not more than $1,000 for each violation. Isn't that a bit of like double jeopardy, or am I misreading this?
Sorry, the bill I have is missing page 4.
I have an extra copy.
This is in the is current in the current law right now. It exists now.
I realize that, but I just want a clarification. As you understand the law, wouldn't that can you read in double jeopardy into that? A double penalty, I should say.
Well, we have assessed double penalties in that there's been instances, serious violations, where we have assessed the penalty and taken an action against the license, such as a suspension or a revocation. We've done both.
Okay, now how do you determine the difference between someone making an honest mistake and intent? I mean, I don't see anywhere in the present law where it says that you have to prove intent before the fine. I mean, what I don't want to see is someone getting raked for maybe the individual whose tax they're preparing didn't give them all the information. Or I mean, I, there's...